Hello, listeners. This is April Hughes, and you are listening to my podcast, The Mindful Teacher. My podcast is a podcast that focuses on mindful techniques for you and your students to help you thrive and be successful in the learning environment. My motto is keeping teachers sane one episode at a time. So I appreciate the fact that you're taking time to tune in. Make sure that you hit subscribe so that you get all the new podcast updates and enjoy the show. I had the privilege of interviewing Janet Baird, who is a Bright Morning teammate dedicated to all things Onward, from the website, the workshops, the expanding portfolio of programs related to emotional resilience. And if you've been tuning into the last two or three podcasts, I've been mentioning Elena Aguilar's book, Onward, Cultivating Emotional Resilience in Educators. So I have really come to love this book, and I reached out to Bright Morning and they put me in contact with Janet, who is in charge of everything Onward, including the wonderful companion website that I've linked to the notes for the episode. Janet herself has been in education for over 20 years, teaching, coaching, and designing and facilitating professional development. She talks about her experience at the beginning of the interview, and I just hope you enjoy listening to this interview as much as I loved giving it. Enjoy. Okay. So Janet, tell us about yourself and the company and how you got involved with Bright Morning.
Sure, April. Thank you so much for having me on today. First of all, I'm so grateful that you're bringing this work to your listeners. I started teaching high school English in 1995 in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I so wish I had Onward when I started teaching. I taught for about 10 years. And then I took some time off to be home with my two boys. Once they went back to school themselves, I went back to teaching for a few years and then transitioned into a coaching position. And what usually happens with coaches, they're just thrown into a position. And that's exactly what happened to me. And I didn't have much experience with coaching. So I began just kind of searching for books to read or professional development opportunities. And at that point, Elena Aguilar's first book, The Art of Coaching, had just come out. I started to read her blogs, and I really, really resonated with the work she was doing. So I started going to workshops that she offered, and then eventually I enrolled in her Art of Coaching certification program. And I've also been a certified yoga instructor for the past 15 years. So I spent a lot of time focusing on mindfulness and resilience and actually how our brain processes all this through life experiences. And ultimately, I've been working with people just to cultivate their resilience. Now with Bright Morning, my main role is to support all of the work we do around Onward and resilience. So I design and facilitate workshops. I maintain our Onward website as well. In addition, I also do facilitation on Art of Coaching and Art of Coaching teams, but my main responsibility is everything Onward related and resilience related.
And I love The Art of Coaching. It's an amazing book. I got introduced to that several years ago also when I was put in a coaching position. So I'll make sure that I put the links to all that information on the podcast for our listeners if they want to check out that book. I'm also a yoga teacher, so that's exciting. Yeah. I did not know that about you.
Yes, very cool.
Yeah, I'm doing my second yoga teacher training this summer in Park City. So I'm looking forward to
getting some more mindful practices to take back to the classroom. I think that that's really a valuable experience. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, with the yoga background, it just helps you to focus in on mindfulness and just be aware of being in the present. I know that I started teaching yoga when my kids were young, so I was out of the classroom at the time. And when I went back to the classroom and started teaching again, that whole skill set just served me so well as being able to remain in the present and in the moment, the power of the breath, being able to pause and think before I responded, really has been just such a gift that I've had these last 15 years.
Yeah, I would definitely ditto that. So with Bright Morning and Onward, I mean, what would you say that the vision is of the company and with this new book?
So Bright Morning, we're a consulting company. So our mission is to interrupt the inequities, build resilient communities, to basically heal and transform the world. So we're an international education, coaching, and consulting firm, and we really focus on bringing new learning practices to organization. So our work transforms schools into equitable places of learning where every child gets what they need every day in order to be successful and thrive. And that's every child, regardless of the zip code in which they live, the languages spoken at home, regardless of race or ethnicity, regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of gender, sexual orientation, regardless of ability, every child gets whatever they need to thrive in school every single day. Every child, every day. And when we say thrive, we mean academically as well as socially and emotionally. And so in order for this to happen, we need adults within our system to be thriving as well. So to feel supported and be more resilient so that they have the energy and the capacity needed for transformational school change. You know, with so much of the social emotional learning, which has been amazing for our school systems, but we jumped right into the student level. We kind of bypassed all of the adults in the system. And so now we have a bunch of adults in our system that really need this emotional resilience work.
Yeah, I totally agree, especially after going through my first yoga teacher training and kind of having a transformation within myself is when I started to identify that, you know what, like I was not fulfilling the social emotional needs of my students because I wasn't capable of it because I still was bringing baggage into the classroom that I wasn't really aware of. And then once you kind of develop that awareness, then you realize that you need to be open in order to help those students.
Absolutely. That's why I love how it starts with knowing yourself. Like, we have to start with ourselves, and then that's where all growth can come from.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just love this. I wish like every educator and principal in the United States would buy this book. It's really the best. And I've done a lot of professional development. It's really the best thing I've seen in a long time.
So awesome. I totally agree, obviously.
No, I'm such a nerd about it, but I don't care. I just want to scream it from the rooftops.
Why I said I'm so lucky to get to do the work that I do and to help people cultivate resilience in this way. It's just what is so needed within our school systems and not even just in our school systems, in our families and in our communities. And I really think the possibility is just endless here.
And then we always talk about, like in yoga, about how if, you know, we could just like touch, you know, a little bit of like our magic or what we're feeling onto like the people in our class and the people that we come into contact with, how big of an impact that would have like worldwide. And so that's why I think it's important that everybody starts with themselves first. And I think that's difficult. I'm sure you deal with, you know, teachers that are very resistant to this kind of change. However, with your success rate, why do you think the approach is so successful within the professional development and online learning community?
You know, I think our work really resonates because it's what teachers and coaches and administrators, it's what I think everyone really is looking for deep down. You know, to me, it's that missing link in so many of our organizations. Elena's books are so practical and so supportive at the same time. You know, if you're a new coach or an administrator, teacher, and you're just starting out in a leadership position or anything, like Art of Coaching Team, both of her books, they're just such that hands-on guide into setting up your practice for success. And then when you start to look at Onward, her latest book, it's just about supporting the adults within our system and how can they cultivate resilience, you know, for this just the incredibly demanding job that educators have. I just feel like with Onward, it was designed so perfectly with teachers in mind. You know, as you probably are familiar with, I'm not sure how familiar listeners are with it, but there's the 12 habits and dispositions of resilience, and they're spread out throughout the calendar year. So our habits are our behaviors, and then the dispositions are our attitudes or our character or our ways of being. So these habits and dispositions are organized monthly, and they go along with the cycle of the school year. So the more emotionally demanding chapters are June, July, August, you know, during the summer, when teachers usually are able to be in a more reflective space. Mm-hmm. And then we jump into the habit of building community in September when we're ready to start the school year and meet new teachers and welcome everyone and our students and our communities and our parents. So I just think it's such a supportive book and really helps you through so much.
And it's ingenious the way that she has it to match up with the school year, because anybody that's been in the classroom or in a school setting knows that there are ebbs and flows and there's ups and downs at certain times of the school year. You know, there's always that, you know, right around October and November where teachers are all starting to feel super burned out. And I mean, it's a real thing. So it's like the needs are different throughout the year. What a teacher needs or a principal needs at the beginning of the year isn't the same as what they need in December, and it's definitely not the same as what they need, you know, in May and June. I mean,
exactly.
That's what's really powerful, I think, about this, because it speaks to exactly what teachers are thinking and maybe not saying, but when they're reading it, I know they're thinking, exactly, this is exactly what I'm feeling like. That's how I felt when I read it.
Right. Well, and I have so many people that reach out and they'll say that, like, oh, how did she know? Like, this is exactly what I needed this month. How did she know? It's like, well, you know, Elena herself was 20 plus years in the Oakland Unified School District as a teacher. So this is coming from years of experience. And I think that that's why it just resonates so well with people, is they really, really can connect to it.
And I think specifically now with the number of teachers that are leaving within the first 5 years of, you know, getting into teaching, and then the number of teachers that are feeling really burnt out, like they're not making it to even like the 20-year mark, there needs to be something to keep teachers in the game. You know, I mean,
exactly.
At a certain point, there's obviously shortages in certain areas and certain content areas, but with all the baby boomers retiring, I mean, I think it's really going to be, they're going to be looking at a big teacher shortage here, I think, in the next 10 years. And I think without more of this kind of resilience work, I'm not sure how you're going to, you know, motivate teachers to come stay or to come into teaching. That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think, what I love so much about the resilience work is it really is set up to help you thrive and not just survive. You know, so many of us in education, we just are like hanging on for dear life for the end of the school year to get mm-hmm. a break. And I think it really has the potential to shift where we start thriving in our workplace. And it really has the potential then to change how we're interacting with our students and with our other, you know, staff members.
And then, like you said, that spills over to your interaction with your kids, your spouse, your family members, your significant others. I mean, it just goes, it might start in the workplace, but then pretty soon you're taking all of these strategies and implementing them with your everyday interactions with everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So much of the comments I get from people that are doing this work for this past year have said that, like, oh my gosh, this has helped me way more in my personal life than I ever thought it would. Like, I started reading the book because I needed some help in the classroom. And all of a sudden, I'm just helping my marriage, it's helping my friendships. So it definitely has the potential to really boost that resilience, not just in the classroom, but in general.
So obviously, I haven't had the privilege yet of coming to one of your workshops, but I guarantee it is on my to-do list within the next 12 months. And so I want the audience to kind of think about, you know, if they cannot physically attend one of the workshops, or, you know, they could maybe do an online. I know you guys offer a lot of online stuff also. Talk to the audience about the benefits of going beyond just reading the book and buying the book, but actually attending one of the workshops.
So, well, first of all, I really hope that our paths do cross in person at one of the workshops. That would be awesome. But our workshops basically provide opportunities for new input around coaching and cultivating resilience, while then giving you the time to practice the new skills that you're learning. So they're practical, you dive deep into the work, and then you have the time to truly experience the work, which is hard to do when you're reading it on your own. You know, there's basically, as you read through the book, you definitely are experiencing it, but in the workshop setting, you get to think of, okay, but what other ways can I cultivate this resilience in myself? And then how can I start to cultivate in others? So for those of you that are teacher leaders, principals, administrators, coaches, anyone else that has a position where they have the potential to help somebody else cultivate this, our workshops are so helpful in kind of walking you through that and showing you the process of how you would start to have conversations around emotions and around resilience. And basically with the workshops, there's kind of two ways to experience them. The first one is what we call our open workshops, and we offer those throughout the year. We have them posted under the Learn With Us tab on our Bright Morning team website. And those are across the country. We kind of set the schedule for the following year, usually November, December of the previous year. And then we also have the opportunity where we can bring one of our trainers directly to your organization and do the workshop there.
Yeah, which I think, I mean, if I was in a position, a leadership position in my school, this would be the first place I'd be putting my money for professional development. Because as you probably already know, and many of our listeners already know, that there's not, I mean, they've had more probably poorly delivered professional development than they've had positive. And with the experience of the book and the professional relationship that they'll get with your company, I think, I mean, it's definitely worth the investment for all the staff. And, you know, there's really a lot of options out there for professional development. But I think right now in the culture of education, this should be number one for everybody out there, I think.
Thank you. I think I agree. I get a lot of people that say, like, wow, my district or my organization, they really value me, that this is the focus they've chosen for the year. And the fact that they brought you out here to work with us for this coming year, it really shows how much they value me. And a lot of people are saying that, you know, they haven't really had that experience yet. They've had plenty of professional development opportunities on, you know, data analysis and test scores and haven't really spent some time valuing the teachers and really focusing on their emotional well-being.
And it's the missing link. I mean, I will say this till I'm blue in the face, but, you know, at some point, teachers need to know that they're feeling appreciated. And, you know, I know I'm going into almost 20 years of teaching, and my principal that I have right now, who actually gave me this book, she really does value that. And she's, and I've told her, I said, you're the first principal I've ever had, and I've taught in two states in several schools, that has actually like wanted her staff to feel valued. And she wants us to feel like, you know, our personal life and our emotional well-being are important. And I think it makes a world of difference.
And absolutely.
I don't think there's enough administrators out there that have that same kind of vision, because all they think about is test scores.
Yeah, luckily we're getting a lot that are reaching out, that are wanting this work. So I'm hoping that that tide is changing, and that they're realizing that the cost of burnout is so high, and they're kind of putting in the work then to take care of their teachers and to offer this.
Yeah, and the work that it'll help them also with cultivating a positive climate, and to build those relationships with their teachers and their staff members. So, I mean, it's a win-win for everybody, I think. So what do you think, like, what advice can you give teachers that are feeling burnout? How do you think cultivating emotional resilience in education can help decrease the burnout rate among teachers? I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, but there are so many teachers out there that are, I know, just feeling like, I can't do this anymore. And it's tragic, because they're gifted people and they're gifted educators, but it's just the stress has become too much for them.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing that I would want them to remember is that resilience is cultivated moment by moment. And it's what it's going to enable us to thrive, like we were saying, and not just for survive. It's also what we have the most influence and control over, is our individual resilience. So each little step you take is helping to increase that pool of resilience within you. And then with that added resilience, you'll have the energy that's needed to then do the demanding work that must be done in our schools. Mm-hmm. So if you are feeling, you know, burned out, just knowing that there's hope, knowing that you can cultivate your own resilience, and start implementing the habits and dispositions that are talked about in Onward. You know, cultivate some self-compassion. Take a moment to focus on the bright spots at the end of each day, or maybe even at the end of a difficult class period or a meeting. Think about three specific things you're grateful for about that class or meeting. You know, by practicing gratitude, you begin to rewire your brain. And thanks to all the research that's been done on neuroplasticity and our brain's ability to change, we know that neurons that start firing together start wiring together. So this small act of gratitude over time will change the way you see your students and the members of your team and your community. So remember that resilience is cultivated each moment by moment. So on your way to work, maybe think about three things that you're looking forward to or that you're excited about for your day. Prime your brain towards optimism, one of the dispositions of a resilient person. Know that you have influence and control over this way of being, that allows you to bounce back quickly and, more importantly, stronger than ever before. I guess basically just each moment is a new opportunity to cultivate resilience. Take those few deep breaths, soak it all in, and know that the next moment is another opportunity to cultivate it.
And I think that once teachers that are feeling kind of burnout and maybe they're resistant, if they would buy into this and start to see the changes that happen within their own classroom, I mean, because that's what happens. It's like you start to build your own resilience, but then, I mean, your students are starting to develop those kind of habits, which in this kind of, you know, I feel like with the suicide rates that keep increasing amongst our kids and all the social media kind of negativity that can be exposed to kids, that they need these skills early on, and being able to share these kind of skills with our students, regardless of what age level you teach, is really important also.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's the key. When we are showing up daily as strong, resilient educators, that trickle-down effect is going to be huge. So our kids will start to see that. Our parents will start to see that. You know, one of my favorite stories is of a teacher who started a book club last year when the book first came out, and it was her and three of her friends that taught at the school as well. And within the first few months of school, their book club had jumped up to 18. And it was from people saying, what are you guys doing this year? Like, you're so loving your job and things are different. And your kid's different. The observations you've had have been so different. And that's slowly word of mouth of saying, well, we're working through this book. It's pretty amazing. And more people want it in because it really does work.
It does. I agree. One thing I wanted to talk about, a majority of my listeners are teachers, but I kind of wanted to talk to the administrators that are listening, because as you probably know, they're the ones making the financial choices on whether or not, you know, they're going to spend the money on bringing somebody in or sending somebody out to do a workshop or things like that. So if you're going to speak to administrators for a moment, specifically maybe newer administrators or administrators that are in a building where they want to change the culture, you know, what advice or recommendations can you give to them about implementing Onward with their staff?
Gosh, that's another great question, because I think that it really does start with all levels of the organization. So that when you try to change the culture and try to create a, you know, culture of resilience, you want to focus on all levels of the organization. So I love that question. So obviously, you know, I would love to have our team come and work directly with whatever school or organization it was. But if that's not possible, I think working through Onward is like a yearly book study focus is a great way to support your staff within your system. And like we mentioned earlier, the chapters of the book are set up to follow the school year. So it's almost like your faculty meetings focus and your monthly professional, in a sense, it's already done for you. You know, highlight the habit and the disposition for the month, possibly choose an activity, you know, out of the workbook to share, even dive into all the resources on the Onward website. You know, remembering that we cultivate resilience moment by moment. So just adding in time at the beginning of your meeting to set an intention, or even, you know, at the end of your meeting, share three things that you're grateful for. That's just an awesome way to begin to create a culture of resiliency at your site. So I think if everyone has that shared language and the shared common vision of we're all in this together and we're here to build community, one of the other habits of a resilient educator, I think really can make a big difference in the culture of your school. And so I would suggest having books, workbooks for everyone to work through for the year, knowing that some are going to dive in and, you know, do more than others, but even just a little bit of this work has profound effects on people, and people are wanting to do more and more. So even those resistant people, we're finding once they kind of tap into it and see the changes that it makes, they're wanting more.
And to kind of piggyback off of that, again, if listeners have not read any of Elena's books, like you said, I mean, they are so user-friendly. I mean, there's a lot of PD books out there, and some of them are just, you know, so not friendly to the reader that people give up and they don't finish. I mean, the way it's laid out, the way the workbook's laid out, everything is really easy to follow, and it's super easy to read with just, you know, think it just makes you want to keep reading instead of like, oh, I don't want to read anymore. I think that's also important, is like the way that she's mm-hmm. speaking the book is just really targeted, like we said, towards the educator. Easy to follow. And I can open it up. One of my favorite things to do is like to open up the big workbook and like just kind of see like, oh, let me see what I, like, how can I tweak this idea today? Or let me see if I've already done this, and kind of like a fun way to just kind of explore the book again in a different way.
Absolutely.
So I am going to put, I will put your information on the link for the podcast. And I also want to put the Bright Morning blog and Elena's blog for our listeners also. I get Elena's newsletter that I feel like is also super valuable. And these are all free things that people can do. Any other kind of wrap-up things you'd like to add for people if they want to reach out to you about maybe booking something?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually, Onward has its own website as well. I don't know if you've checked that out, but it's onwardthebook.com. And it's a pretty amazing resource. So for the last year, which has been basically Onward's first year, I've added a daily post based on the habit and the disposition of the month. So there's over now 365 posts on our website. And basically those daily posts, I share resources to further your learning. So it might be a video or a TED Talk or an article or a podcast, just anything really to enhance the experience with Onward and to help you cultivate resilience just in another way. So you have the book, you have then the workbook. It's super reflective to work for, to work through. And then you also have the website. So if you are more of like the visual learner, or you know what, I don't feel like doing a reflection in the workbook, I would love to just watch this TED Talk. And it's on the same habit and it kind of gets you deeper into the work. So now that we're a year in, on the main homepage, you'll see a little drop-down menu and it will have the 12 habits listed and you can choose whatever habit that you want to explore and you'll find all the posts that are on there. So the first time you go onto the website, it'll also ask you to sign up for the newsletter if you're interested. And I send that out twice a month. So similar to Elena's, it's all full of those free resources. This Onward website right now is completely free, so it has so many resources for you. We also have downloadable tools on there. Elena's done some guided meditations that are on there. So it's really full of a bunch of just awesome resources to help further you in cultivating your resilience. And then in addition, our Bright Morning team website has all the blogs that our team members do. And like you had mentioned, Elena's work writing with EdWeek and Edutopia that she's done for years.
Yeah. And I really appreciate you taking time to do the podcast, because I, like I said, I keep talking about this and I really love that. I mean, I'm so excited about the work you guys are doing, and I really think it's going to change the whole way that teachers look at professional development and resilience. And you know, it's going to be, I just can't wait to see what it's like in just another year. And then, you know, in 5 years, I think it's just amazing work. So I appreciate you taking the time, and, you know, you guys keep up all your awesome work that you're doing over there.
Thank you so much, April. Truly, the pleasure is mine. I love talking about this work, and it's just such an honor to help people cultivate their resilience and find their purpose again and find their energy back. So I truly appreciate you bringing this to your listeners.
Yes. So
thank you for taking time to listen to the Mindful Teacher podcast. Please make sure to hit subscribe and like and share with your friends so that everybody has the opportunity to get tips and tricks on how to stay mindful and successful in the classroom. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at Lifetime Literacy. Check out my website, www.lifetimeliteracystore.com. Find me on Teacher Pay Teacher, Lifetime Literacy Store. You'll also see the link in the credits. You can follow my blog on WordPress at lifetimeliteracy.blog, or you can follow me on Twitter at VintageGlam44, or find me on Facebook at Lifetime Literacy Store. I appreciate all your feedback and dedication. Until next time.